Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Genuinely Grace, and the podcast is a little bit early this week. And the reason is I just could not contain my excitement because I have a fantastic announcement to make, and I am so excited about it. I don't know whether you will be or anybody else for that matter, but for me, oh my goodness, this is big news, and I wanted to share this podcast with you early. I wanted to tell you about my big news, and also I decided that this week I will just share some stuff that's been happening in the news, because I knew that if I had a guest, I would overshadow my guest by going on about my news. So, shall I do the big reveal? You may have already seen it on social media, of course, but my fabulously exciting news is that I am going to be speaking at Russell Brand's Community Festival. Now, you might be thinking, oh, wow, is that it? I'm not a fan of Russell Brand. Well, yeah, there is a bit of Marmite going on. People either love Russell Brand or they, you know, they're not so keen. But I am, I absolutely love Russell's work. I love the whole concept of this festival, which is about connection, awakening, spirituality. And, you know, wait for this. Wait till you hear some of the speakers. There's Wim Hof, no less. And there's Dan Turner, and there's Dr. Vandana Shiva, and there's Satish Kumar, and so many more. And I'm just so thrilled to be asked to do a talk. And I'm going to be on the Recover stage, so I'll tell you a bit more about that in a moment. But just in case you are interested, and I think there are still some tickets left, and you can get day tickets. So I'm going to be speaking on Saturday, the 15th of July, and the festival is from the 14th to 17th. It's on Hay on Wye. I mean, it just sounds absolutely beautiful because, you know, obviously it's camping and chilling, basically. Russell Brand's Community. It's 14th to 17th of July in Hay-on-Wye. And as I say, what an incredible opportunity. What a great opportunity, both for me and for the message, if you like, that I'm going to be bringing. And this is one of the things I wanted to just share with you this week, because I really wanted to do this gig. And I think I manifested it, actually. I definitely pitched myself and just manifested it and visualised it happening. And, you know, it's not the most likely of connections, really, because obviously Russell's work, in fact, all the profits from this event go to the Stay Free Foundation, which is Russell's charity that helps people in recovery and addiction. And Russell's work, as you'll be well aware in this area, is very much based around AA and 12-step programs. And obviously, that's not the message I'm bringing. I'm going to be giving a talk around, you know, could my life be better without alcohol? Are you sober curious? It's going to be a completely different kind of talk for the Recover stage. And, you know, so in the blurb, I've actually said, perhaps you're somebody who's never been near the Recover stage before, wouldn't have even thought of it. You know, 6 years ago, if I'd have been at Russell Brand's festival, which is perfectly possible because I was, you know, back then very interested in spirituality, of course, and connection and awakening, all the things that Russell's talking about, I would have been there. And I would probably have been thinking, oh my goodness, you know, when it's a shame there isn't a tent here selling booze. And I would have seen the Recover stage and the list of talks and things that were happening in there. And I wouldn't have gone anywhere near it. I just would have known instinctively, that's not for me. I'm not at rock bottom. I'm not clinically dependent. I don't need any of this stuff. I'm not going to go near it. And I would have remained stuck. And actually, the fact that they have offered, you know, that I can do this talk is just fantastic. They're building that bridge, because, of course, there'll be people at that festival who wouldn't go along to anything about 12-step. But they absolutely are willing to just check into that statement. You know, are you curious about sobriety? Have you wondered whether your life could be better without the booze? Because for that question, a lot of people go, hell yes, but I just don't know what to do about it. I'm locked in a trap and seemingly I'm the only one. And isn't it fantastic that we can build this bridge between these two worlds? So as I'm going to be doing this festival, you know, and I think this is a fantastic bridge. In the past, I've not been I've not bigged up AA. It wasn't the way I came to sobriety. But you know what? I don't care how people come to sobriety. It doesn't matter. As long as you're living your best life, it really doesn't matter which way this happens for you. But I thought I'd ask one of my coaches. You know that I do offer sober coach training. And a couple of my coaches do have experience of AA. So I asked Emily Horwood, and she wrote some really great pieces for me, which I think helped my understanding a little bit, because I'm someone who's never experienced AA. But she, what she said, and I thought this was just really helpful, so I'm going to write a piece about this. But Emily shared a few things with me, and she said, you know, whether you're a park bench alcoholic, this is her words, or a grey area drinker, or anyone for that matter, the 12 steps can be a design for living. They provide an opportunity for self-reflection and self-development, and they help us to get out of self and teach us to get to know how to get to know ourselves more authentically. Well, I love the sound of that. And she says, as someone who's worked through the 12 steps of AA to help achieve my sobriety, I only see benefits in the program. From the outset, I was skeptical and concerned about the stigma attached to the word alcoholic and the rumors of a, in inverted commas, cult that was too centered in God and religion. But since working through the steps, which is a lifelong journey in practice, I've let go of those preconceived perceptions. I listen now for the similarities and the differences in people's stories. So isn't that great? That's just like a really, I just think it's really good to kind of be able to look at both sides. But the fact that, as I say, you know, the fact that I'm going to be able to open up that, the whole concept of potentially choosing not to drink when you feel as though you're in a trap, is another layer. So I'm super pleased, as you can tell, to be part of this. So it's Russell Brand's community, and it's in Hay on Wye, 14th to the 17th. If you go to russellbrand.com if you want to book tickets, you can get day tickets if you don't want to camp. And I'm going to be speaking on Saturday the 15th. So of course, if you're going to be there, absolutely love to meet you. Please come along to my session, which I think is lunchtime-ish, something like that. It'd be really fantastic to meet you. So this week, I figured there's been so much in the last couple of weeks around alcohol in the press, and I thought I'd just kind of bring some of it together, because it's been quite disparate the way these pieces have come out, and yet those of us who are watching this stuff have definitely noticed, for sure. So one of the first ones that came out, which I may have mentioned, I think I mentioned it on last week's podcast, was this article that was in The Guardian, but it was in other newspapers as well. The one that I saw was the title was "Alcohol in Moderation May Lower Stress-Related Risk of Heart Disease, a Study Finds." And this was an article by Caroline Davies. And the opening sentence is, "Light to moderate alcohol consumption may lower the risk of heart disease because it leads to long-term reduction in stress signalling in the brain, new research claims." So this is, I mean, this is massive. I know we've had these kinds of studies before, but this was a very interesting one. It kind of looked in detail as to, I think it was originally published in the Journal of American College of Cardiology, and it looked in detail as to stress signalling. And so what we're talking about here is the way our brain works, the way that we get stressed. And what they're really saying is the brain region that's associated with the stress responses, the amygdala, in individuals who were light to moderate drinkers compared to those who abstained from alcohol was reduced in terms of stress signalling. So, you know, in other words, while we're drinking, we have a different stress response. They said in one piece of this article said, when the amygdala, the part of the brain that responds to stress, is too alert and vigilant, the sympathetic nervous system is heightened, which drives up blood pressure and increases heart rate and triggers the release of inflammatory cells. So what they're doing there is they're explaining how the body works, the stress response in the body. We all know about this, the fight or flight response, the fact that there are no tigers, right? But sadly, we all get massively stressed if our report is late or the train doesn't come or someone says something to us that upsets us. And that's the way our modern life tends to be. And so what they're really saying here is that leads to chronic stress. And alcohol, and they do, in fairness, say moderate. They are referring to, a small amount. I think they say one drink a day for women, between one and two drinks for men. I mean, of course, if I'd, 6 years ago, I wouldn't have read that piece, would I? I doubt whether anyone did. I'd have just taken this to mean, fantastic, I can lower my stress and just drink. So anyways, what they're doing is they're pointing out that the way the body works, that we all get stressed and that our stress response over time really impacts our physical health. If we have chronic stress, yes, it does increase inflammation. Yes, it does increase our risk of all kinds of other illnesses because, it's not good for us. Most of us know that. And so their hypothesis here from this study is that people who drink a moderate amount effectively are less stressed. It's they use their drinking, I suppose one might say, it's not their words, it's mine, as a way of relieving stress or ensuring that the stress isn't too prolonged. Now, seriously, I'll try and stay calm. Don't get me started here. This is just such a twist on the actual truth because, yes, of course we get stressed. Is a toxic drug that is addictive the answer to calm that down? Well, no, not really. If we're stressed, if we recognise that we're getting stressed, if we recognise that our stress response is being alerted too often and for too long, then yes, we need coping mechanisms. We need to reduce that stress. We need to calm ourselves down. We need to surf that urge. We need to soothe ourselves. We need to find pleasure a different way. We need to, if we're searching for a dopamine hit or if we want to relax, we need to do that a healthy way. And there are so many healthy ways. Join us in the Sober Club. There is so much there to add to our self-care toolkit. We do recognise that when we get stressed, we do have to look after ourselves. There are things we need to do. But the answer cannot possibly be something that just numbs us out, that is a highly addictive, toxic drug. How can that possibly be the answer? It's just bonkers. And, their ridiculous statement, one drink a day. I mean, come on. The studies they've done have been done on people who have a very nice off switch, thank you very much. And yeah, maybe it doesn't make any difference for them. They don't even think about whether they're going to drink or not. These are not people who are really, waiting all day for that one drink and then panicking that they can't have another one or, saying, oh, to hell with it and I'll just have two. Oh, maybe that will become three. We're not talking about people who are grey area drinkers, people who are drinking more than they want to. We're talking about people who, for whatever reason, really can absolutely take or leave alcohol. It's no big deal. They might have one on a celebration and then no more for months. It's not a big deal. They could very happily replace it with a grape, or a bunch of grapes, which would be much better for you if you want the resveratrol, right? But it's so crazy to suggest that by drinking you will be healthier. That's actually crazy. The things they talk about here in terms of health are the things that alcohol leads to. So they actually talk about increased inflammation due to stress, hypertension, a risk of obesity, diabetes, a risk of cardiovascular disease, increased heart rate. Oh, hold on a minute. They're all the things that alcohol will exacerbate in addition to making us more anxious. I mean, much more anxious and so linked to all kinds of mental health conditions. So I think you've probably got the message. I hate these studies now. I absolutely know that those are the studies that kept me stuck for years, and I guess they're still keeping millions of people stuck now. This ridiculous notion that by choosing to drink a toxic, addictive substance, we're healthier and we live longer. No, absolute BS. Now, thankfully, the Times put an article out a few days after that, which was really well done. And that was called The Sober Truth About Moderate Drinking. I think this one was by Helen Rumbelow, I'm almost sure. And this really was much more balanced. And there was a great line in this article. It says, British culture is drenched in alcohol, whether it's the pub boozers, the wine o'clock cork poppers, or the summer picnickers marinated in Pimm's. Should we be encouraged by new research that shows moderate alcohol consumption can reduce the risk of heart attacks and strokes? And then they go on to explain that article. And they quote in this piece Ian Gilmore, Professor of Medicine at the University of Liverpool, who is also the chairman of the Alcohol Health Alliance. And he says, it's a story that everybody likes to hear, alcohol being good for the heart. He says, it plays into that paradigm of moderation in all things. I'm not a campaigner for abstinence. I'm not trying to be seen as a killjoy, but I'm afraid the starting point is not true that a little bit of alcohol is good for the heart. Well done you, Ian. Thank you for that. It was a really good piece that kind of eschewed some of the other stuff. So I was very grateful for that. Don't forget, whenever I talk about these things, I always remind you of the piece that I did with Dr. Anya Topiwala, the podcast that I did a good long while ago, but you can find it easily. There's also a blog post. If you go to thesoberclub.com, there's a blog post called The Inconvenient Truth About Alcohol. And I share there the bits and pieces of the interview with Dr. Anya Topiwala, who is a psychiatrist. And it was such a fantastic interview because she really told it like it is. She's a senior clinical researcher on a study which was looking at the telomeres, how alcohol shortens the telomeres, which are the aging markers. And she was also talking about its link to mental health issues. Anya said, as a psychiatrist, I see the effects of alcohol regularly and the link with anxiety and mental illness. All I want to do is change the narrative and offer people a glimpse of how much better life is without alcohol. And, you know, it was such a hard-hitting piece. So I really urge you to go back and have a look at this. And you might be thinking, oh, I know all of this. Of course I know all of this. And I've had lots of Sober Club members who'll say to me, I've read William Porter's books and I've listened to your podcast and I've really got this. But then a few days later, they'll post something that says, oh, I'm going to a party or a wedding. And I'm thinking, you know, wouldn't it be nice to just be able to celebrate and have one? So even though many of us have got the logic, it's that really deep-rooted peace, that peace within us, where the neural pathways have just not kicked in yet. Somewhere deep in our subconscious mind, we still believe that the associations with having a good time, with being feeling glamorous, having fun, celebration, have to be linked to an alcoholic drink. When we think about it logically, it's madness. But this isn't about logic, is it? Often it's about those neural pathways. It's about the associations. It's about the feelings that we want to create. And our mind just instantly clicks back and remembers that feeling, the fading effect bias where we look back with rose-coloured spectacles. Oh, I've been sober now for ages. Be perfectly fine to just have one. Well, as many people know, it won't. And why would you want to do that? Why? Why would you want to blow feeling fantastic, having freedom from alcohol, which is just the best gift you will ever give yourself? Why would you want to do that for some toxic liquid just because you're sitting in the sunshine? Yes, have a glass of something. Of course you can celebrate with a glass of something or some nice food. It's what we do as adults, right? Just is. And that's okay. Have a lovely glass, but have something in it that is alcohol free, right? There's always a way. And I haven't finished yet on the news stories, because then, of course, at the beginning of last week, we had the the big story around Jack Grealish. So I did a little comment on BBC Radio Sussex, I think it was, and there were a few other news channels covered this story. I was actually away on a retreat in Glastonbury, so I didn't actually see much of this one. But apparently, there was a lot of booze-fueled reveling, shall we say, after Man City's win, and Jack Grealish made headlines for being, worse for wear in quite a big way, it would seem. And there was a little bit of discussion over, oh, should he be cheered on that, you know, good for you, having a good night, as it were, or is this actually really not a great thing to be kind of splashed over the world's media? And then I contributed to a piece that was in Grapevine, a piece written by Jenny Holliday, and the headline was "Grealish and Johnson: Is it time we found an alternative to booze for work celebrations?" So she cleverly, you know, linked the fact that it's not just the Premier League footballers; it's obviously the wine time Fridays in Downing Street. We've all read about that, right? And there's this whole culture, isn't there, of work events, work networking things, work celebrations, just always mean booze, just always. And I think I might have mentioned the NHS. It's the NHS's 75th birthday, I think. And, you know, I think there have been people who have been recommending that as it's Alcohol Awareness Week coming up soon in July, how about the NHS do a little more around awareness rather than just once the horse has bolted? But of course, there's this unspoken issue of, oh, well, that's the NHS's 75th birthday, so wonder whether actually many people are going to be drinking. And it's a thing, isn't it? This, as this article says, the narrative around drinking at work is just, it's crazy. So the little comment I wrote to this piece, I actually said in this piece, the issue for those who don't drink is that saying so can be met with negativity. So I was just sharing that people often feel they're going to be sober shamed if they don't join in at work. I had someone in the sober club who started a new job, and literally sort of 4 days into the new job, there was a big work event. And she was just so stressed about, how are everyone going to see me? How am I going to fit in? How will I come across? What will happen if when they realise that they've got someone, you know, on their team who is not going to join in the fun, in inverted commas? I mean, crazy, right? Totally crazy. Why would you not be able to have fun just because you're not drinking? Anyways, in that instance, she was completely fine. And there was a couple of other people who didn't drink, one for religious reasons, one who'd chosen not to drink. And you know what? It's fine. And so it should be. That's really all we're saying, isn't it? It's all we're saying. We need it to be as normal to choose not to drink as to drink. Why does it have to be the norm? This is the piece that really, really has to change. So anyways, there's a lot of newsy stuff I've thrown at you there. Oh, there was a bit of good news as well. Really, really good news that there's a new non-alcoholic tap room opened in Hackney in London. I haven't been there yet, but the headline was "The alcohol-free beers taste just as good as the real thing." So that was an interesting headline. So things, you know, they are changing. Just feels a little slow sometimes, doesn't it, for some of us? So, anyways, let me share with you some of the things that are coming up, event-wise. I've calmed down now a little bit about my big announcement. So if you are listening to this early, as it were, before Saturday the 14th, then Saturday the 14th of June. What am I talking about? It's not Saturday the 14th, is it? Sorry, I'm getting confused. 24th, Saturday 24th of June, this Saturday, I'm going to be speaking at the No Booze Cruise, Matt Pink's No Booze Cruise. He was my guest a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. Really looking forward to that. So if you've got tickets for that, then I really look forward to meeting you there. in London on that boat. It's really, really going to be fantastic fun. So I look forward to meeting you there. Do come and say hi. That's on 24th of June. And then into July, as I've already mentioned, with a flourish, the Community Festival, Russell Brand's Community Festival, 14th to 17th of July at Hay on Wye. I think there are some tickets left. You can get day tickets. I'm going to be speaking Saturday 15th. It'd be absolutely amazing to meet some of you there. And then the weekend after that, it's the Latitude Festival, and there's quite a few sober influencers going to be part of the Latitude Festival, all set up by Mandy Manners and a Zen team. So there's going to be some panels happening there, so I'm going to be there on that Sunday. Really looking forward to that panel. And then into August, Tuesday, August the 15th, it's my event, which is going to be celebrating almost 250 episodes of this podcast. I know, I can't believe it. Oh my goodness, almost 250 episodes. And I'm going to be bringing back some of the very first guests I had in the first few weeks. So we're going to be doing a live recording, a meetup in London. And we have William Porter, we have Annie, we have Laura Willoughby, and we have Claire Pooley. So three of the first guests that I had on the podcast are going to be with us. Absolutely brilliant to be able to get these guys to come and share, you know, what's changed over that period of time and share a bit of their story, and you get a chance to meet them. So that's at Club Soda, and you can get tickets. If you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you can get tickets there for that event on Tuesday, August the 15th. In the evening in London. And then a few days after that, a very, very small group are going to meet for Sober by the Sea, Saturday, August the 19th in sunny Southend. You don't have to be sober. Of course you don't. It's for anyone. It's if you want to focus on living your best life. And we're going to create a vision board, and it's going to be a really fantastic day, Saturday, August the 19th. There's a few tickets left for that, I think. So again, if you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you can get tickets for the event at Club Soda, the Sober by the Sea event. And very soon we'll be popping details in there about our next Family Constellations as well. I've actually had the most amazing experience with Family Constellations this last week, because I was on a retreat and I was able to actually do a constellation for myself, which I haven't done in ages because I've been working in this field. And it was truly amazing. I'm always astounded at just how incredibly powerful this work is. Really is literally life-changing work. So we'll be putting another date in there for constellations, probably an online one first and then another one late summer. And then all that remains is for me to remind you that depending on what stage you're at, of course this isn't for everyone, but if you are someone who has been sober for a while, you're now thinking, you know what, I really would like to lay some foundations, really look at my own identity, think about inspiring other people. Maybe you want to add something to your existing work that you do, or maybe you want to start doing completely different work. I offer sober coach training. It's a truly holistic approach. So it's about much more than, in inverted commas, just not drinking. It's a whole holistic picture. It's a full training, which kicks off with 2 days of retreat, in inverted commas, kind of. And our next training is in October. So extremely limited spaces. There's a lot of one-to-one involvement, and you become part of our coach's family. So there's a lot of connection involved as well. But message me if that's something that's of interest to you. We can have a conversation. And whatever you're up to in these next few weeks, just stay connected. I think once we finally hit summer, something shifts for a lot of people. It really does. There really is that sense of, oh, it's summer, maybe I'll go back to drinking. I've got at least one client who has said to me when I've been doing one-to-one stuff with them, I want to stop drinking at least until I go on holiday. It's quite a common thing for people to say. So it goes back to what I was saying earlier. Those really deep-rooted beliefs and associations that when I'm on holiday, when I'm celebrating, when I'm going to be wanting to have fun, or I'm going to want to fit in, I need alcohol for that piece. And that's the challenge. That's the question to ask yourself. Is it true? Is it actually true that in order to have fun on holiday, or in order to go and sit by a river or by the sea in summer, I need toxic liquid in my glass? Is that true? And somewhere in your gut, if you're in any way in tune and aligned with your body, you will know that the answer is no, that isn't true. Yes, I'd like something. Yes, I would. I'd like something. I'd like to chink a nice glass with someone else. I don't really just want a cup of tea. Probably won't cut it, actually, if truth be told. I want something. Well, have something. There is a massive choice. Have a nice, you know, glass of your choice and put some kombucha in there, or some sparkling water, or an alcohol-free beer, or one of the many, 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 you know, zero drinks that are available. Have something nice. But that's something that does not involve alcohol. And the only issue is, will be your mind playing tricks on you. And yes, of course it will do that to start with. Yes, it will. It will say, oh, that's not quite right. I'm missing out. I didn't pop my champagne cork like everyone else did. You know, but it's just stuff. It's just limited beliefs. It's just stories. And we can get through them. Obviously, I'd suggest that you join us in the Sober Club, because there's just so much there, even if you've been sober for 7-8 years, as some of our members have. We've got literally every kind of piece of content, really. We've got some amazing experts. We've got meditations in there. We've got masses of stuff around nutrition. We have regular meetups. We've got a fantastic little support network. And we've got a course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. So feels like I've plugged a lot of stuff this week, doesn't it? Plugged a lot of events, plugged the Sober Club. But yeah, there you go. It's been one of those weeks where I just decided to chat to you. We definitely will be back with a guest next week. Do check out thesoberclub.com. If you are struggling, do send me a message. You might not want to join us in the Sober Club. That's okay. But just message someone, tell someone what's going on, because then someone can be your cheerleader. And I will do my best to reply to any messages that I get. So if you want to tell someone you're doing this, you can tell me. Very easy to find on social media, at Janie Lee Grace. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.